This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. Are you some church-going folks? Pagans? Spiritual? Or none of the above? Well, after tonight's tale, you may reconsider not going to church on a regular basis on Sundays. I'm not a religious person. I grew up with a mother that was forced to go to church and listen to sermons in Latin with her brother and sister. Her parents would drop her off at church and then just drive away, leaving her with the responsibility of 2 younger siblings and acting like she had a clue on what was going on. She laughs sometimes, telling me the stories of her youth and how she didn't have any idea what was being said. The first few times she tried asking, the adults would shush her or glare. So she just learned to be quiet and mimic what was being done around her. The word amen being uttered, bow the head and repeat it. Everyone standing up and singing songs, better get up and mouth words so that nobody thinks that she and her siblings were being rude little children that haven't been raised right. Once she had her own children, none of us went to church. Some of my siblings asked, out of curiosity, when the rest of her friends were forced to go. Being in the Deep South, church was what all families did in our town. We were the exception. I think some of the neighbors found it weird, dressed in their Sunday best while we were out playing outside or piling into the car for breakfast. "Not going to church again?" they'd ask. My mom would laugh, keys jingling as she got into the car and cheerfully called to them, "Nope, we're going to get pancakes." So, I never read the Bible. I had one, my grandfather insisted on it, and put my name and birthday on the spine in shiny gold letters. Maybe I should read one, though. It started off small. We got strangers sometimes. The town wasn't that tiny, a little less than 9,000 people. So when I went to the grocery store, it wasn't that weird to see people I didn't recognize. I didn't think that much of it when I saw the first one, at least, I think it was one. He wasn't dressed that oddly, but something about him stuck out. Maybe it was the way he was dressed in a way too white button-down shirt in the middle of the summer, or his long hair that most men wouldn't dare to try out. Either way, he caught my eye and was just staring at me. I stared back, trying to figure out if we knew each other from high school or from a friend of a friend, but he was a complete stranger. So I just smiled, waved, and went on my way. I grabbed my groceries, paid, loaded my stuff in my car, and drove back to my apartment. I figured it was just a one-off, a guy that recognized me for whatever reason, thought that I was someone he knew with an interesting fashion sense. But it kept happening. Not just him, but others. People in clothes that didn't make sense for the heat of summer. Pure white button-downs, no wrinkles or signs of sweat, They had gloves, too, and long pants that reminded me of bell-bottoms, but I didn't ever see their feet. I could understand if that was a new fashion trend or something, but long sleeves and covered head-to-toe in clothing doesn't seem like a good trend. Sounds like a heat stroke. Still, I tried to be polite. Just wave at the strangers and be on my way. I thought that maybe they were a weird bunch of groupies following some indie band or a family that insisted on having similar clothes, I don't know. I mentioned it to my mom, curious if she had seen them too, and she laughed it off. Just ignore it, sweetie. Anytime you see them, just wave and be on your way. No need to be rude. So I took her advice, until I finally got enough courage when I saw yet another one at the grocery store, staring at me. I wandered close enough to look at the apples he was standing next to and asked, "Are you from here?" I really don't know what I was expecting, but what I got in return was terribly underwhelming. He just stared at me, eyes wide, and said, "Nothing." So I tried again, stupidly, trying for any kind of response. If he was enjoying the weather, had he been around town for long, even asked if he liked apples. Nothing. The same blank, unblinking stare that made me muster my best smile and tell him to have a good day. I should have never talked to him. Suddenly, they were everywhere, all the time. Going to the gas station, one would be in the aisle, staring at me the entire time. Driving down my street, one standing at the street corner, only moving its eyes. They never move, at least, not at first. Just their eyes. They don't walk or turn their head or anything like that. Only ever their eyes. Fed up with it after a week, I went up to one that was in my way when I was trying to go for an evening walk and asked, "Who are you? Why are there so many of you?" This one, a woman, stared at me like they always do. I think I was tired or maybe just sick of having random people in the same outfit everywhere, so I touched her shoulder. My fingers barely skimmed her white shirt before it was stained and red from blood. I don't recall my screaming or turning tail and running back to my apartment so I could drive to the hospital. I'm sure I was making a racket, but the thing that sticks out to me is that I finally got a response from one of them. She blinked. Then she smiled. It took 10 stitches to close up the cuts on my fingers. 5 from my index, 3 from my middle, and 2 from my ring finger. I don't know what happened. Trying to explain it to the emergency room was difficult because they insisted on whatever had done this had gone down to the bone. After that, things got worse. They actually moved. Not like walk or, you know, be human, but would glide across the floor to follow me. I still couldn't see their feet. Their knees didn't bend or do anything normal to even mimic a normal way of walking. The first time that I saw it, I knocked over a display of cookies and had to apologize profusely to the poor bakery worker. When she asked me what had me in such a fright, I gathered up the courage to say, "The man over there, he keeps staring at me." She looked in the direction I was looking in, brow furrowed, but she didn't respond at first, but asked if the man had walked away. I must have looked stupid, mouth agape, because he was right there, but she couldn't see him. All I could do was nod my head, agree with her, then rush out of the store. After a week of getting used to them moving, they began changing. Small things at first. Their shirts looked less wide and more gray. They made a strange rattling sound sometimes, a hollow, creeping sound. Their faces became more aggressive. Not much, but rather just watching them with their eyes, they turned their heads or flexed their fingers. Eventually, the gloves went away, and I wished that they hadn't because they had strange hands. Their fingers were far too long, curved unnaturally, and have a sickly gray skin to them. The nails were all ripped off. Just 3 or so months ago, I thought they were a bunch of weird groupies that copied a band or maybe some strange cult. I wish I still believed that. It was when I saw strange shadows behind them that I finally broke down and told my mom everything over the phone. My hand being cut up, that wasn't a cooking accident. It was from them. My jumpiness and sounding like I'm close to a nervous breakdown? Yeah, I've been being followed for months now, and I don't know what to do. She was quiet for a long time, and I fully expected her to laugh at me, tell me I was being ridiculous or dramatic, but instead, she let out a long sigh and said, "Sweetie, I told you. You should have just been polite." "What the hell are they?" I asked, tears running down my face as I made sure that every curtain was closed. She was quiet, oddly so, before she offered. "I don't know. Your grandfather always called them angels." "Those are not angels." "So you haven't seen them fully yet. That's good." I remember choking out a weak noise, maybe a question, but she kept going. "You should move. Somewhere nice and cold, far away from the south." "Move? What? Just pack everything up, leave my job and apartment with no notice and go? Go where?" "It doesn't matter. Far away. States and states away. Maybe even countries." Nothing was making sense, and I managed to say as much, trying to demand for answers, but all I got in response is a sign. A tired and sad sound before she pressed on, talking like I hadn't been having a panic attack. "You could try to wait it out, but I'm going to be packing up and going myself. If they're aware of you, then they'll soon be bothering me." I felt cold, throat dry, and I managed to choke out a, "What happens if I stay?" She was silent again. This time, it lasted far too long before she finally continued. "Depends on them, I suppose. I don't know. But if they've already harmed you, I wouldn't be surprised if they'd likely do it again. They're strange that way." We got off the phone shortly after that. She kept on insisting that she needed the pack and call my siblings, telling my brothers and sisters to be mindful of themselves. I wanted to try to stick it out. I didn't want to leave my home, my friends, my little apartment, so I tried keeping my distance from them. Anytime they drifted too close with their wild, unblinking eyes, I walked away, or in some cases ran. I thought it wouldn't be too hard. They're slow after all. At least until one of them got too close and I couldn't quite run away. I was trying to pump my gas into my car. I saw it this time, just mangling and stumbling back from the pump when the gasoline hose was cut and gas spilled all over the side of the car and on the ground. Two wings stand on the shoulders of this angel. He stared at me, head cocked to the side like a bird as the wings twitched, but they were nothing more than the feathered wings I had seen online. They were huge, far too big for its lanky body and anchored to the back by blackened bones. What should have been soft feathers were twisted and gnarled bones, different colors of white, black, red, and pink, some looking deceased, others looking freshly cut from an animal. I stared, mouth agape, and the wings sliced through the air and left me with a torn shirt and a bleeding stomach. I abandoned my car and ran. Someone picked me up and drove me to the hospital. The wound was superficial, the doctor said, cleaning it out and patching me up with a bit of gauze and offering some painkillers. The moment I got home, I called my mom, even though it was 3 a.m. She listened to my jumbled account of what had happened, and I ended it with a sob of, "Can I come with you?" "No." She sounded so harsh and cold before she sighed and continued. "No. You go one way, and I go the other. I'm headed up towards Washington State." "Are you not going to tell me what state you stop in?" "It's not safe. Don't tell me where you end up either. I suggest that you leave now, or in a day or two. And sweetie, whatever you do, don't pray. You've never done so before, so don't you dare start now." After that conversation, I still debated on staying. At least, until I looked through my bedroom window to find them. Not just one of them, but many. Some standing on the street, staring up into my apartment. Others on the roofs and phone lines. The sign of some of them floating in the air with skeleton wings that looked more like razor blades in the streetlight. That's what solidified my decision to leave. I guess I'm writing this as a warning. If you see people that stick out, just be polite. Don't talk to them. Just wave and smile and be on your way. I still don't know who they are. Angels? I don't know a single angel that has razor blades on their backs, but sure, maybe. Either way, I'm packing up and leaving. Mom says that's the only way. to run as far and as fast as you can and don't pray. Praying will guarantee they find me sooner.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply. Oh, oh, oh,
O'Reilly! Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.